I'll make sure I get a report on that to you at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Did you have something, David?
Nope.
Any further discussion? Item 13K is a discussion item. Amendments to Alaska Statute AS 29.45.050 related to the tax exemption for fire protection systems. If it's not clear, basically, the state is allowing the local government to regulate that more, and we don't really have an ordinance in place to cover that.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor, exactly. We have been following the state statute and have not had a local provision in our code. The state statute previously was mandatory for certain fire protection systems, and they have made it, rather than mandatory, it's an optional exemption now. The fact of the matter is that it's less than $1,000 in lost tax revenue, and we think it's a service to the businesses that have these systems to continue to offer that deduction. And so what we'd like to do is add it to our code as an optional deduction, optional exemption, but one that we're giving. And if you concur with that, then we'll bring the appropriate ordinance back for you.
I agree.
No, you do.
Go forward with that.
And the reason we're bringing this up is because there was state legislation changing this and items related to the next item there. And we wanted to bring it forward for your consideration.
Now, that's the same as the senior citizen exemption also, correct? Because it is mandatory for the state.
The senior,
so we don't have it in our
it is in our code.
That
one and the veterans exemption are in our code.
Right.
This one is not for some reason.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I thought I read that.
Yeah, it is. You're correct.
Any other discussion on that?
Yep.
Okay. Item 13L, discussion item. Amendments to Alaska Statute AS 29.35.01017 related to liens to real and personal property for unpaid fees and fines.
So again, state legislation was passed allowing for municipalities to put liens on property for unpaid fees and fines, which essentially means if someone is not paying their fees and fines, mostly this would be related to, I think, zoning and building code violations and those sorts of things, fines that are levied against a person's property for one reason or another. I'm not sure if I need to double check if it would relate to like utility payments and things like that, but it allows for a tool to be used for a lien to be put on the property, and then if that lien goes unpaid for a period of time, essentially, the municipality could foreclose on that property just like they do for unpaid property taxes. And it's a tool. We're not necessarily recommending for or against this, but what the finance director and I have discussed is that if we bring something back to you to add this to our code as a tool, that there would be some minimum threshold set, because the last thing we're going to do is spend $200 or $300 or more of staff time and attorney's fees to put a lien on someone's property for $3.50 unpaid, you know, fee, or even $100 in unpaid fines and fees. So we would come back to you with a minimum threshold recommendation so that it's not something subjective that we're doing, and that it's very clear when this type of a situation would be used.
Now, my question was, if you file a lien, does that prevent you from turning that bill over to a collection agency? I would think it would. And that's why you would probably want to put that threshold.
Yes. It would need to be worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I could see where that just something like the Vipers junkyard, you could get in a situation there where you got a lien on property and you end up with that property that you don't want.
Right. And of course, they couldn't sell it until the lien was satisfied. Is that correct? You couldn't sell property?
That's correct. Or it has to be cleared as part of the sales transaction. But
have that clear title to it.
But what it does allow also in some instances, I mean, certainly the Byford junkyard is the most egregious, but there are instances where you might have a junkyard property that doesn't have such environmental contamination that is a blight on the property, and you may go into, you know, as the assembly has suggested, they want us to start doing strict enforcement of the zoning and the nuisance laws. Well, if we get to a point where people are not responding and we are actually levying fines, the code allows for us to levy fines per occurrence, which is every so many days. If the violation isn't taken care of, then the fine repeats itself. So it's $300, let's say, every 10 days, or $300 every 15 days that the thing isn't cleared. So if someone continues to be non-responsive to that, you can rack up a significant bill over a very serious period of time. And that would allow the assembly to put a lien on and potentially foreclose on that property, take ownership of that property, clean it up for redevelopment purposes, and then resell it, recoup the money that it costs to clean it up when you sell that property and allow it to be reused again. So that's an instance where you might want to take advantage of something like this. Of course, you're going to want to double check to make sure that you don't have hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars worth of environmental contamination that you have to deal with first.
Well, that was my point. You can't pick and choose
right,
which
that's correct.
You lean, have a lien again.
That's correct.
If you do it on one, you've got to do it on all.
I concur.
And that was where we got in the situation of Byford Junkyard, is foreclosing on that for taxes. Mm-hmm. And oops. We've done that for other properties, so we had to do it for that, even though it cost millions of dollars. Not to the city, but it cost...
to the taxpayer at some level.
Yes, the taxpayer at some level. And the city, too, because the city had a lot of time, staff time.
And still does, yeah.
And yes, it still does. And it's kind of an ongoing thing, an ongoing cost to the city, which basically the city will never realize the money that was spent on that.
Well, and now WCA is spending dozens and dozens of hours researching stuff and looking at things. So it's taking a toll on the community, that's for sure.
You know, it may be worth it, but I just bring that up for consideration as I guess playing the devil's advocate on the situation there. You know, what could potentially happen. And we want to be very careful what we do.
It says that you can put a lien for to secure payment of past due utility fees, but it has something interesting here. It says that except as otherwise provided by state law, a municipal lien has priority over all other liens except a lien for property tax.
That's correct.
And I guess that makes sense because the municipality is collecting a property tax and there's other mechanisms, I guess, to take the property.
That's correct.
So you wouldn't require a lien. Okay.
So what that means is that if a bank has a lien on that property as well, that we are not subordinate to that, either for property tax or for the fees and fines. So if that property is, let's say, were to go be in line to go back to the bank,
uh-huh,
and be sold, the city has the ability, would take that property first before the bank would have access to it to repay a mortgage.
Okay.
Any further discussion on that?
Well, do you need any direction from us?
No, I guess what I need to know is, are you interested in us bringing back something for you to review as an option that has some minimum thresholds attached to it? This is not a major priority, so we'll get this one back to you when it's a appropriate time for us to work through those issues.
Any further discussion on that? Item 13M, approval of state legislative priorities.
Move to approve state legislative priorities, and I believe with the rearrangement as discussed at the workshop.
And the removal
priorities.
And the removal of the last portion of the sentence from the sustainable fiscal plan. And removal of the evergreen project from the list.
Project, right. Let me make sure that's, yes, the adoption of the sustainable budget plan. Yes.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. We had a discussion.
Well, we were clearing up the motion.
Okay.
Yeah, we had some.
All of it.
We knew what we were doing.
That's a good thing. We're rather informal. Okay, is there any further? Is there any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker? Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13N, approval to purchase.
I apologize, Mr. Mayor. I do have one duo. We did forget the addition to the Alaska Marine Highway of full funding for the budget, the operational budget, and reform. So that's duly noted. We'll make that change too.
Okay, item 13N, approval to purchase 150 kW Caterpillar generator set from NC Power Systems in the amount of $40,194.
I move to approve the purchase of 150 kW Caterpillar generator set from NC Power Systems in the amount of $40,194.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
After going through the bid process, did it come in lower?
In the end, it's $36.
Okay.
Wasn't the original for 175?
And the original was for 175 kW.
Yeah,
okay. That's correct.
175.
Yeah,
right.
Yep. So they're not savings really.
No.
In the end.
That didn't pay off.
Mm-hmm. Plus, what is not factored into this is all the money we spent advertising and for the bids and all of that, which is several hundred.
I still think that's the way to go, though, even if it does cost money.
It's nice to get it. Yeah.
Actually, let's discuss this a little bit, okay? So it is the way to go, but I had a conversation with City Manager Lisa that there was a bid thing that you could tag on to, and that I think we should have got that information. I don't think it would have had to go out to another bid situation to cost more money. So I think we need to look at that. You might want to explain that to them.
So there's a provision in the code that allows the borough to be able to use bid prices that have been shopped by other state, federal, and county, regional governments. So the state of Alaska goes out annually and bids all sorts of different things, from equipment to, copiers and you name it. And any political subdivision of the state is allowed to tack on to what those prices are that the state has already received as a low bid for that amount. So if we have a piece of equipment that is something that the state has bid and there has been a low offer that the state has accepted for that, we can just hop on the state contract and get it for that low price without having to go through our own bid process. In this instance, Amber looked at that, and the Public Works Director was advised of a bid process that had taken a competitive bid process that had been done through a federal process that had been done in Minnesota that she was able to tack onto, and the Caterpillar dealer recommended that she use that. And she brought that to me in an agenda statement and said, what do you think about this? And I said, it's a fair bid process. It's a less price. Let's go with it. And I was advised by an assembly member who said he had spoken to a couple of other assembly members that we needed a bid. And so I pulled it off the agenda and we didn't bring it forward. And perhaps in hindsight, I should have done that anyway. But I can, what I may do is work with Amber to write a document that explains more clearly what that process is and why it may be beneficial for us to use that and just tack on, because the bid process has already been gone through by these other agencies and it saves our time and money having to deal with it.
I wish I would have known that. I have never heard of that, and we are so reluctant to go with a sole source.
Right.
And you're right. In this case, it did not pay off, and that would be good to know.
So we'll get you a report that explains that a little bit more so that okay. You guys understand it, and that's something that we may look to using in the future, because we have the ability to purchase all sorts of things. There are government agencies across the United States that shop and bid all sorts of crazy things. So who knows what savings we might be able to garner. Because, you know, if there's an entire group of Western states or Midwestern states that have gotten together and gone through a competitive process and little wrangles able to tack on to that, we may get a screaming deal on something. Who knows? So.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Any further discussion?
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13-O, discussion item. Shoemaker Bay dredge material options.
Well, this is exciting stuff. Talk about being in the muck. So, Greg Meisner had hoped to be here this evening, but he was unable for personal reasons. I'm sure you guys all understand. But we did get the results back on the chromium, and it came back negative for chromium-3, but we did get a hit on chromium-6. And Greg, actually, even today, yesterday and today, was, despite what was going on, was able to talk with an environmental person, and it looks like the number at 50, which here I neither had any idea what that meant, is probably not in the range of concern. We're going to confirm that. So what that means is we will look to see if the Corps will allow us to dump the dredge material someplace else in the basin or adjacent to the basin, and if not, then we will be free. We should be free to dump in the city's monofill with that dredge material. If we can get the Corps to allow us to dump in another area in the basin adjacent, then that's a savings potentially of nearly $250,000 that we're not having to haul all those yards of dredge material up way the heck out, you know, Spur Road and up to the monofill pit, the city's monofill. So that being the case, we're going to move forward with that as the primary option, and we will have PNND. They're already, my understanding is they're already trying to get that information from the Corps. As Amber mentioned in the report, the Corps allowed this to happen in a job in Cake, and so they're going to see if perhaps we can do it, and our former assembly member said he was able to do it as well in an area here. So if we can get them to allow that, that would certainly be the best case scenario, because anything we can do to save us $250,000 on this project, we're certainly going to do. Right now, I don't have enough. I don't have enough final information, given that we have to wait for an answer from the Corps, to tell you exactly what we're going to do. But as soon as we do, we'll let you know, and we're working on what is the most advantageous for the city. But the good news is it seems like we don't have any large contamination in that soil, and so we're going to be able to dispose of it in the most reasonable manner possible. We don't have contaminated soil, and that's the great thing. And nor are we having to spend $100,000 to bring a drill rig down here to do more testing, nor delay the project by an additional 6 months to get that information. So that's very good news.
Yeah. So on that note, I see that our next agenda item is to go to open bid or outcry bid for the floats. What kind of timeline are we talking if we get that approval, I mean, to put floats back in there?
So we will, what we will do is we will sell the floats, but they will not be disposed of until the project starts and we're ready to do everything. We will pre-sell them, and we need to wait till the next agenda statement. Sorry.
Yes.
My bad.
Okay, I got you.
That's okay.
We'll go to that discussion.
Okay. Good question. My question was, the harbor master, did he take samples? I know he went as deep as he could.
Yeah,
did
about
he take
4 feet.
4 feet, okay. Did he take samples at several different locations?
My understanding is smack dab right in the middle of the area where the dredge material
would
be.
That'll work for me. Yeah, okay.
And you're talking about just going around the corner?
I don't know exactly where the plan would be to dispose of it, but my understanding is it has to be in the adjacent neighborhood somewhere. I think the thinking is if you take dredge material, if you take material from right here and you stick it right here, you're not harming anything because the material's been sitting right next to each other for all this time. If you take it and move it to a completely different location, then who knows what you're introducing or what was in that other location you're taking it to. So, but those details, I don't have enough information to give you a good answer, Assemblyman.
Of course, the existing parking lot there, with the dredge material, but that was before the grid was put in. But anyway, any further discussion on this item? Item 13P, proposed resolution number 01-18-1390, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell authorizing the surplus disposition by outcry auction of the existing Shoemaker Bay Harbor floats.
I move to approve resolution number 01-18-1389, authorizing the disposition by outcry auction of the existing Shoemaker Harbor Bay Harbor floats.
Move to amend to change that resolution number 01-18-1390.
The resolution is correct. The agenda statement was incorrect. And I apologize for that.
Yeah. Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Other than what we already had.
So would you, Assemblymember Powell, like me to explain?
Actually, you kind of explained it, so I'm good.
So the reason why we want to pre-sell is that so that we know how many of those floats are going to be disposed of and collected by people outside, and how many the contractor will be responsible for having to get rid of, and that we will have to absorb into the cost of either putting, shipping out as part of our trash or disposing of storing some other way. And that allows us to have a more clear scope in the bid documents for the contractor to bid on up front rather than us having to do a change order after the fact, adding or changing work once the contract is already signed.
Okay. Any further discussion? Full vote, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Mayor Jack.
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. It's available for review in the Borough Clerk's office. Item 15, executive session. We have none. Item 16 is adjournment. We will adjourn at 8:44 p.m.